very much appreciate Juan reading that passage for us. And it's certainly good to have Vance and his lovely wife with us now. And the song service that he led for us was one that was very uplifting, and we appreciate that very much. How many of you were here the Sunday evening that Ed Harold told us how to solve all of our problems? We're going to follow up on that lesson this evening. If you remember in Colossians chapter 3, those verses that Juan read for us, that's where he found the solution to all of the problems that we face. And that passage begins with if. And that really reminds us to look back in an earlier part of the Colossian letter, chapter 2, verse 6, where it says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." And he pointed out to us that there are two things that we need to resolve in our own personal lives. That is, number one, who we are, and secondly, what is our goal in life. If we've resolved who we are, that is, we are Christ, and that we have set heaven as our goal, then as we begin to look through the rest of this passage, and we find that, "Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth," verse 4, and then over in verse 9, "but now you yourself are to put off all these." And he talks about all of the things that we were in our past. And then he talks about the character of the new man. And then we're going to get into that which we want to talk about this morning, and that is the Christian home. We want to think in terms of a Christ-centered home. Are our homes Christ-centered? And as we look about in our congregation, we have a large, large number of small children. And the only way that we're going to bring those children up so that they too can find these two very simple things, to find out who they are and to find out what their goals in life should be, is to have these Christ-centered homes. Just envision for a moment your home. Is it a Christ-centered home? Is that the type of home that you are raising your children in, if you have children, or as Mo and I are with our grandchildren? Are we encouraging our children to have Christ-centered homes for their families? Christ-centered homes have spiritual leadership, but they also require teamwork. Christian men must step up and lead. And this is probably the most important thing for the men of this congregation, to realize that they must step up and lead if their families are going to truly be Christ-centered homes. The husband, the father, is to be the spiritual leader, to be the head of his family. Ephesians 5, 22 through 24 tells us, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. The husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything." And probably the most classic example of this type of a relationship is found in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 6, when we find that Sarah obeyed Abraham. "And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. In Genesis chapter 18, Genesis 18 and verse 19, we read, "For I have chosen him in order that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice." That's the purpose of the leadership that the Christian man must take in his home, so that he and his family will keep the way of the Lord. Unfortunately, statistics tell us something differently. Women too often have been the spiritual backbone in the home and even the leaders in spiritual matters because the man failed to step up. And I'm suggesting to you and encouraging those of you that are men who have families or who may have families in the future to realize the God-given commandment that you are to step up and to be that spiritual leader in your family. Yet, when we think about the situation, there simply cannot be two leaders or heads for a household to run successfully towards spiritual goals. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3 says, "But I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man, and the man is the head of a woman, and God is the head of Christ." Over and over and over again, scriptures tell us how God wants his homes to be run, that they should be Christ-centered homes with the man stepping up to take the spiritual leadership role. Every man will have to give an account to God on how they did as spiritual leaders of their families. Think about that, men. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. We're going to have to give an account. And this is one of those things where we'll have to give that account. Do not shrink your responsibility and say, "Who am I that I should lead?" as Moses said. But remember that God will be with you when you step up and take that spiritual leadership role. You cannot and you shouldn't force your spouse to lead or to follow, but you can, wives, be good examples through your steadfast commitment to the Lord. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear." My brother-in-law took 35 years before he became a Christian, but his wife was that type of an example for all of those 35 years. And finally, he realized what he needed to do. And the comment that brought tears to all of our eyes was when he told his oldest grandson, "I should have done this 25 or 30 years ago." Step up, men. Be the spiritual leader in your home. And wives, if your husbands are not doing this, by your conduct, you can lead them to that position of spiritual leadership. The husband and wife should work together to accomplish spiritual goals. United as one physically, Matthew 19 and verse 6, but also spiritually in the Lord, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. There's great strength to overcome the devil when united in the Lord. Think about Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 12. "If one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him." There's so much greater strength in a family when both are working towards spiritual goals than when one is pulling against the other. a cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. Think about that as you work as a team in spiritual matters, realizing that the husband is to take the spiritual leadership role. Husbands must treat their wives with equality and with honor. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. You husbands, likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way. So very important. Understand. The worst thing that you can do when you come home from work is to go in and turn the television on and sit down. Listen to your wives. Men and women are different. And probably the biggest problem that Sandy and I've had over the years is I would come home and say, what's the bottom line? She wanted to tell me in gruesome detail her day. And if I would just listen to that, everything was fine. But when I said, in my way, can't you get to the bottom line? I was in trouble. Understand your wives and listen to them as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. And she is a fellow heir. Because remember, it's spiritual teamwork that's going to get us there with the husband as the spiritual leader, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Wives must respect their husbands, looking to them for spiritual leadership. And that takes us right back to the very, very beginning of Colossians chapter 3. If we know who we are and what our goal is, this is going to be easy. It's going to be easy for the wife to place herself in subjection, and it's going to be easy for the husband to take that spiritual leadership role. Ephesians 5, verse 33, nonetheless, let each individual among you also love his own wife, even as himself, and let the wife see to it that she respects her husband. On the same token, when the husband comes home, honor him and respect him and encourage him in the things that he does, as well as he needs to listen. Working together as a team, parents can have a positive spiritual impact on their children. We want them also to grow up and to become faithful children of God, to realize who they are, His children, Christ-like, and to realize that their ultimate goal is going to be also to get to heaven. Christ-centered homes are centered on His Word. And I can't express to you how important this is, to center your home on His Word, to make that part of your daily activities. The statistics are out that those families, particularly as you get into high school, that eat together 3, 4, and 5 times a week, those children are much less likely to get into trouble, and they're going to be stronger bonds between them and their parents. Let's make His Word the center of our activity in these Christ-centered homes. The Bible should be lifted up as the most important book in the house. We're going to have all kinds of books in the house, but there's none that should be given the important status that His Word, that the Bible, should be given in our homes. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 reminds us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's the book that we ought to base our emphasis on. That's the book that we ought to guide our children by. Not Dr. Spock and some of these other books that are out, but those things that we can find within God's Word. Spiritual education should be put above secular education. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 18 through 20. Secular education is fine and good, and we need to do it so that we can live in the society that we live in, and that we can care for and feed our families, but it should be secondary to spiritual education. Scripture reading and teaching should be done above the writings of men. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 13. Family gatherings around the Holy Bible, which has the power to build your family up, should be done. When's the last time that you just sat around in a group and you just read the Bible and you talked about the Bible, and the little ones and the bigger ones had the opportunity to ask Dad and Mom about those stories in the Bible, the things that they need to understand about God's Word? Spend time with your family. And yes, you men need to take the leadership role in teaching at home those things from Scripture. It should be done continually with daily discussions of God's Word. Remember back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 7, the nation of Israel was reminded how important it was to keep at the forefront the law of Moses and God's Word. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. There's not a time when we cannot use Scripture to encourage, to respond to, and to teach our children. Abide by the golden rule of Christ. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 16. Nonetheless, to the degree that we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Dad and Mom, be of the same mind, have the same rules. Kids are smart. Mom tells them no, what do? They go to Dad, and if Dad doesn't say, what did your mama tell you, and he does something different, we're not playing by the same rules, and we're not of the same mind. Mom and Dad have to have their rules worked out so that their children will understand that if one says something, it goes for the other as well. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12, 13, and 14. And so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Abiding by the golden rules of Christ. Strong marriages follow the rules of love. I remember being told one time that, and I can't remember who told me this, but a young man came in and said, I don't love my wife anymore. And whoever he was talking to said, you better get on your knees right now and ask God to forgive you, because you have to love your wife. It's commanded of God. 1 Peter 4:8, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. And think about that, dads and husbands. if your wife didn't love you, you'd be in real trouble, wouldn't you? I know I would be, for all the times that I've forgiven for the things that I did that were wrong, that love covered those sins. Children need rules, boundaries, and structures. Kids will push you to the breaking point. And if you don't have those boundaries, if you don't have those rules, if there's not structure, they're going to just walk all over you. And kids, children want to have rules. They want to have structure, and they want to have boundaries. So moms and dads, you need to make them for your children. Proverbs 6, talking to the children. My son, keep your father's command, and not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your hearts. Tie them around your neck. Children need also to realize that they need to obey and respond to and respect mom and dad. This brings peace, safety, stability, and comfort to home life. Think about that. A home without rules, without boundaries, without structure, is not a safe home. It's not a home that's going to have peace or stability or comfort. But in a Christ-centered home where dad is the leader and there's teamship between mom and dad and boundaries and rules are set, there's going to be peace, safety, stability, and comfort. Jesus, as we have seen in Colossians chapter 2 and 3, is the role model family members must imitate. Can your children tell that it is Christ that you most admire? 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, and this was Paul talking to the Corinthians, that you remember me in all things, and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. Paul got them from Jesus, and he passed them on to the Corinthians. And in God's Word, we have those basic guidelines that we can use in developing our Christ-centered homes. Spiritual growth or character building should be and must be the goal of every family member. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28, and we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom that we may present every man complete in Christ. Imitating the love of Christ is the number one goal, a love that is seen by sacrificial service for one another. John chapter 15, verses 12 and 13, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend. And in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross. Love is seen by the sacrifices that we make for one another. And husbands, you need to make sacrifices for your wives and for your children so that we will have a Christ-centered family and home. Sin is addressed with gospel principles in the family, in Christ-centered homes. Parents humbly admit their mistakes, which encourage their children to do the same. There's nothing wrong in telling your children that I made a mistake, and they'll understand that when they make mistakes, then it's nothing wrong with them. making that omission themselves. Sin is not ignored or tolerated, but confronted honestly by the Word of God. And family members do not keep score, but forgive each other. Luke chapter 7, verses 3 and 4. Take heed to yourself. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And then in verse 4, and if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Think about that. And think about that in terms of your children. Don't lose your patience with them. Remember their children, and you need to guide them. And in the case of your spouse, love and be willing to forgive and forget. Christ-centered homes practice the forgiveness of Christ, Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, and remembering that God in Christ has forgiven us. Christ-centered homes have only one master and one Lord. Jesus is Lord, the only master of the house, his house, and our house, your house. Jesus is to be revered as the one far above all rule, power, authority, dominion, and the one is head over all things. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. He raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6, we read, but Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are. If we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end, that's our goal, heaven. And if we hold fast, it's going to happen. Nothing of the world is allowed to compete for our devotion of God. Nothing in this world. Nothing. Whether it's our work, whether it's recreation, nothing in this world can be allowed to compete for our devotion to the Lord. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. All things, Paul tells us, are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anyone. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12. This doesn't mean that we cannot do things in the world and still have a Christ-centered home. We have to strive for a balanced approach, whether it's schooling, recreation, sports, or entertainment. It's that balance that we have to have, always remembering that in a Christ-centered home, God's Word comes first, and that the husband must take that leadership role in guiding the family so that it will be God-centered in the things that we do. Holiness is to be given priority over friendship with the world. Christ-centered families don't care if they are not liked by the world as long as they please the Lord. John 15 and verse 19, if you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. We're going to have those issues where we're going to be an exact opposite of the way the world does it. But as Christ-centered families, we've got to understand that there are going to be times when the world will hate us. Christ-centered homes are busy in the work of the Lord. Servants of Christ abounding in the work of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 15:58. The work of the Lord is not a mere hobby, but central to family life. Make God's work a priority. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to those who are the household of the faith. The work of the church is supported by Christ-centered families. Strong churches, strong congregations are composed of strong Christ-centered families. Think about that for a moment. No church is going to be strong if the families are not strong, if they're not Christ-centered. Christ-centered homes worship the Lord. Worship is not restricted to the assembly, though that is important for us to be here and to uplift one another, but it's a daily occurrence in the home. Praying together to give praise and thanks to the Lord is very important. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. Prayer is needed, is a needed place of refuge and strength for the family. We need to pray together and to pray for each other. Psalms 18, 1 and 2. I love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. The Lord is our strength, and it's the strength of Christ-centered homes. It's our rock, it's our anchor, it's our salvation, it's our stronghold. Singing spiritual songs to draw nearer to God and one another, Colossians 3 and verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell richly within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your heart to God. It's important to sing when we come together as a congregation, but it's also important for families to sing together so that they can teach and admonish one another within those Christ-centered families. Worship at home prepares the family for worship with the church. There's nothing more thrilling, I think, than to see young children partaking, not in a sacrilegious way, but in a very, very humble way, going to church, singing songs, even partaking of the Lord's Supper and having preaching, to see your children doing this on their own. That just makes them realize what it is when they come to church. So worship at home, understanding that we cannot partake of the Lord's Supper except for on the first day of the week. But worshiping at home does prepare the family for worship with the children. Devotionals, breakfast time, whenever, is very, very helpful. Worship at home prepares the family for eternity in heaven. But what are you willing to do for a Christ-centered home? And I hope all of the fathers and husbands here today are thinking about that. What are you willing to do to step forward to be the leader in your Christ-centered home? And for the wives and the mothers, what is your place and how are you going to support your husband in that leadership role as you team together to bring your children up so that they too will have as their goal eternity in heaven? A Christ-centered home requires your love, both mom and dad, a willingness to sacrifice your all for the spiritual well-being of your family. Time is too precious to waste. The There's really not a moment to lose, so redeem the time with your family before it is too late. Total commitment should be to be building your home on the rock, which is essential to keep Christ the center of your home. It will be difficult to break bad habits, but they can be broken. And you can step forward and take that leadership role. And wives can be that supportive individual in this teamwork toward these Christ-centered homes. So patience, perseverance is a must for a Christ-centered home. And I would say to each and every one of us, don't give up. We can all have the type of home that our Lord wants us to have, with the husband as the leader, with the wife and the husband working together as a team, teaching and admonishing one another, loving one another, forgiving one another, and working to guide our children so that they too can become Christ-centered and have as their goal heaven. The lesson really has been more for us as Christians this morning. But if there's someone here that is not a Christian and really understands the significance of a Christ-centered home and wants to become one of His children, we would encourage you to come forward as we now sing the song that's been selected. Or if you happen to be husband or a wife that needs to be helped, let us help you now as we stand and sing the song that's selected.